I want to read our text this morning. This is from Ephesians 5, the entire paragraph. We're going to focus especially on verse 18. But check it out. Here's the word of the Lord. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. In light of Thanksgiving this week, I thought it would be a good time to remind all of us at Indian Valley to remind us to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to remind us to be filled with the Spirit. For the Apostle Paul, in verse 18, if you noticed when we hit verse 18, the Apostle Paul commands us. This isn't just like a sit back thing. It's a command. He commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about. Let's consider being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want us to start this morning by catching the context. Just briefly, I want to develop the context. Church, what I just read to you this morning, I don't know if you caught all the stuff up front, but it is flavored like Old Testament wisdom literature, like the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and so forth. You get this wisdom literature theme because verse 15 goes like this. As you catch it, it's like three verses in a row. It focuses like this. It begins by telling Christians, verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk. Walk, right? Which is a metaphor for living very frequently in the Bible. It's not talking, you know, watch that you don't step on a tack or something. It's talking about how you live. Be careful how you live. And then it says, not as unwise dudes, but as wise. So you get this wisdom theme going on. Don't live foolishly, but live wisely before the Lord. Verse 16 tells us to, you know, make the most of our time, okay? Use our time wisely. And then verse 17 repeats the wisdom theme again, telling Christians, check it out, verse 17, so then do not be foolish. Again, no dumb living. Don't live dumbly. No dumb living, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, wise living. Live wisely. And then we come to verse 18. Then we come to verse 18. And verse 18, once again, puts in contrast this wise versus foolish living theme. And it does so by quoting a proverb. It actually quotes Proverbs 23:31, which pictures drunkenness here as the symbolic height of folly. So it's just saying the same thing over and over. And it holds up drunkenness as the symbolic height of folly, and it says this, verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but, right, contrast, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, let me read it again. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, a few things to note here. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, depending on your translation. I think the NIV, the ESV says that is debauchery. Debauchery. I like how Loewenaeude defined this term. Every time I quote this book, I give you the whole title because it makes me laugh. Because it's huge. It's a huge term. Loewenaeude, two last names. It's from the Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament based on semantic domains. Isn't that a great title? Greek English Lexicon, New Testament, based on semantic domains, okay? And I love how they define the word here, dissipation, debauchery. They define it as behavior, quote, behavior which shows a lack of concern and thought for the consequences of an action. That's dissipation. Behavior which shows a lack of concern or a lack of thought for the consequences of an action. And I'd like to picture it like this. Imagine it like this. Picture it like a man who is a rich guy and he wants to hire a chauffeur. But this guy, he lives on this crazy road that goes up to his house, and on one side there is an enormous just precipice, a cliff driving up to his home. So he wants to make sure that he gets the best chauffeur that he can possibly get. He wants a really good driver. So he interviews, he narrows it down to four people, and he has these four people come in for an interview, and he asks them all, each of them, he puts to them this question. It goes like this. How close could you drive to the edge of the cliff and still feel comfortable? How close can you drive to the edge of the cliff and still feel comfortable? The first guy said, I could drive within a foot of the cliff and still feel comfortable. I can maintain my composure, maintain my cool. The second guy said, I can drive 6 inches from the cliff and feel just fine. The third guy said, I can do it within 3 inches and not lose my composure. The fourth guy said, drive close to the cliff? Are you insane? I wouldn't do that at all. Rather, I would hug the mountain wall and not drive anywhere near that cliff. Guess which guy got hired? Guy number four, right? Guy number four. For while he, think about it, while he exemplified wisdom. Listen, that's wisdom. While he exemplified wisdom, the other three exemplified this Greek word right here, dissipation. Dissipation. Behavior which shows a lack of concern, a lack of thought for the consequences of an action. The point is not how close can you get over to, you know, toppling. The point is wisdom. Wisdom, okay? And church, and Paul is saying something. The Apostle Paul, who's writing this, says here to Christians something similar. He's saying, don't live like that. Don't live like these other three guys live. Don't yield yourself to the influence of stupid living, of like, you know, drunkenness or folly. Don't do that, but instead, 5:18, Ephesians 5:18, instead be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, what are we talking about here? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me tell you, this doesn't mean get the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you don't have the Spirit, now you got to get the Spirit. There's too many passages that contradict that. Romans chapter 8, even in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it indicates that you already have the Spirit. This isn't, if you're a Christian, you already have the Spirit. It's not talking about getting the Spirit. Rather, the apostle is commanding us. This is a command here. He is commanding us here to yield to Him, to yield to Him, to be under His powerful influence in your life, to be under His powerful influence in your life. And I'd like you to picture it like this. This is a lame illustration, but this is the best I could do, best I could come up with. I hope it works for you. Picture it like this. Picture it like this. When I was 10 years old, my family had a dog. And let me tell you, it wasn't just the family dog, it was my dog. And it wasn't because I picked the dog out, but because the dog picked me out, if you know what I mean, right? I was 10 years old. This dog stuck to me like glue. It slept on my bed. It wanted to be around me all the time. And every day when I would get off the bus after school, I would step off the bus, I would turn to the direction of home, and this dog would be bolting out to me from my house all the way to the bus stop, it would come bolting out to me, looking like he had like a smile on his face. You know, if you know what I'm talking about, if you're a pet lover, right? He looked like he was smiling. And this was our routine, like every day after school. And then one day, I got off the bus and turned in the direction of home, and no dog came. I was like, what in the world is up? No dog. And I got to the house, and I soon found out that what happened is a couple of hours earlier, before I got home from school, the dog got hit by a car and killed. It was gone. And Indian Valley, let me tell you, I was filled with sorrow. I was filled, and we get that. I was filled with sorrow, and I came powerfully under influence. I was influenced by the emotion of sorrow. In Indian Valley, I think similarly, in Ephesians 5:18, Paul is telling Christians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit by, listen, letting yourself come under his influence. Let him influence you. Be influenced by him. Fall under him. I came greatly under, you know, sorrow influenced me. He's saying, let the Holy Spirit influence thee, right? Let the Holy Spirit influence you. And Christian, do you know, or let me put it like this, how do you know? You might get the concept, but how do you know if you're being influenced by the Holy Spirit, if you're yielding to the Holy Spirit? How do you know if this is so in you? How do you know if he is filling you? Well, think of it like this. Church, just as the effects of folly are evident in a person by, like, you know, self-centeredness or, you know, ruined propriety and stuff that goes with debauchery, and just as the foolish effects of too much wine are very evident in somebody's life. You know, talking about anybody, see somebody too much under the effect of wine? Listen, just as the foolish effects of too much wine is plain in a person. So Indian Valley, if you're yielding to the Spirit, if you are being influenced by the Holy Spirit in your life, well, let me tell you, that brings certain results in your life too. That brings certain effects, certain evidences, certain fruit in your life too. And let me tell you, the Apostle Paul gives us several examples in the next three verses of Ephesians 5. Several examples of what this looks like. And the first one is what I'm going to call the fruit, and this is a big long title, but this is what I have, right? The fruit of edifying words and heartfelt, joyful worship together in the family of God. Here's the fruit. How do you know the Spirit's influencing you? How do you see the results in you, on you? Well, this is number one, edifying words and heartfelt, joyful worship together in the family of God. Look at verse 19. Check it out. Verse 19. And remember the context. Those who are filled with the Spirit, those who are plainly under his influence, evidence it by speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now, church, there are two dimensions in this verse here, two dimensions. And the first one is a horizontal dimension, like a one another. I'm talking like us one toward another. There's a horizontal dimension in the text here in which Spirit-filled Christians strengthen the faith of the church, and like the body of Christ, one another right here, by speaking to one another in the whole gamut of our worship as we gather together as the body of Christ, which, by the way, assumes that we are actually gathering together as the body of Christ and not being AWOL, right? That's an assumption the text is making. It assumes that you are part of the family of God. And church, I want you to notice too that the whole flavor of verse 19 is not It is not of, you know, competing parties who work against each other in the Church of Jesus Christ, but of an assembly of Jesus who bless each other, who bless each other as we worship the one true God together. We are to be a blessing to each other. We are to bless each other in the family of God. Now listen, that's the horizontal dimension. But there's also here a vertical dimension. I'm talking about between us and God. Us, the community, and the living God. For a Spirit-filled Christian, worships God with the church, listen, joyfully from the heart. Joyfully. That is absolutely key. Joyfully from the heart. And you say, well, I don't see the joy anywhere in there. I don't see the word joy. Listen, but the idea is all over the place in this verse. Think about it. It comes out because of the piled high musical terms in our text here. Did you notice how they're heaped up here? We gather together, the Spirit-filled person, listen, they're doing this stuff. They are singing and stuff, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs that we are gathered together, singing, making melody in our hearts, you know, from the heart to the Lord. And let me tell you, this is not merely speaking of mouthing lyrics. It's got nothing to do with merely mouthing lyrics while harboring like a heart of hate or something like that. But this is talking about worshiping with your church with hearts full of joy. With hearts full of joy. And why shouldn't we Christians exude joy? Amen? Do you believe it? Amen. Why shouldn't we exude joy as Christians? Remember, even, it's almost Christmas time, right? Listen, think about it. Even the angel that announced the birth of Jesus. Remember the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And in Luke chapter 2, the angel of the Lord appears with the message of the gospel. Remember, Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. He announces the birth of Jesus, the one who is coming, who will ultimately take away the sins of the world. And the message of the gospel from the angel, remember, is, behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. So listen, if Christians can't find joy together in Jesus, oh, how lame is that? How lame is that among the people of God? Oh, Indian Valley, think of it. The world may think that Christianity is a bunch of, you know, Christianity, the world may think, is just service. It is service, it is duty, it is no delight. It is no delight at all. I like what Spurgeon once said, though, about serving the Lord. He said that in Jesus, our piety is pleasure. Our hope is happiness. And our duty is delight. It is sheer delight. In Indian Valley, let me tell you, the apostle is saying something similar in this verse right here about those who are filled with the Spirit of the living God. Okay, that they're the fruit, this is a fruit of being yielded to Him, of being influenced by Him. That's fruit number one. Let me give you fruit number two. Another result, another fruit of being Spirit-filled, right? Spirit-filled. Another fruit of a Spirit-filled Christian is, number two is this, a thankful attitude. A thankful attitude. Oh, church, a thankful attitude. This is why I'm talking about this around Thanksgiving time. A thankful attitude that finds constant expression in you. Regular expression in you. Not heaviness and then, you know, a little Thanksgiving thrown in. That finds regular, constant expression in you. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. I'm not making this up. Where the result of being filled with the Spirit is, listen, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks always and for everything. For everything. That's like in every kind of circumstance, we're to find reason to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord. And I want you to notice the word always. Give thanks always, always, pantata in the Greek here. And the fruit here is, you know, giving thanks always, which indicates that thanksgiving. Now, church, listen, not belly aching, not tearing down, but thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a regular normative occurrence in the character of the one who is filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, not just on Turkey Day, Thursday, so-called Turkey Day, okay, but all year long, thanksgiving should exude from the people of God. And fruit number three is this. Check it out. Number three. Last verse. Verse 21. The fruit of the Holy Spirit in the life of one who is yielded to Him, in the life of one who is being influenced by the Holy One, by the Spirit of God, is submission to the authorities God has placed over your life. Submission to the authorities that God has placed over your life. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says the Holy Spirit's filling, that's the context, results in, is evident in, quote, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let me tell you, this is so un-American. Let me say it again. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Couple of things to note here. The word submitting, hupotasso in the Greek, it's actually a military term, by the way, but hupotasso, it speaks of one who places him or herself under the authority of another. Very clearly, that's what the verse means. That's what the word means, submitting. One who places him or herself under the authority of another, okay? And notice, it's willingly here. You're not being coerced. Nobody's twisting your arm and saying, well, you have to do this because so-and-so's twisting my arm. It's a willingness here, a willingness. The person here, the Spirit-filled person, willingly places him or herself under the authorities that God has set over their lives, okay? And I have to tell you, by the way, I got to throw this in too. This verse does not mean, as some will try to say today, you'll see this written here and there, maybe comments, a blog or something like that. They'll say, actually, there are no leaders. There's no leaders, there's no real submission. Not, you know, maybe on paper, but there's no real submission at all in the Christian life. Because really, this verse is telling us that everyone is supposed to submit to everyone else. We're all to be, no leaders, no authorities. I submit to you, you submit to me, you submit to your boss, I guess, your boss submits to you, something like that. There's no leaders whatsoever in the Christian life. And I tell you, that is really great 21st century, modern, kind of Western world kind of stuff. But it's really bad Bible. It is really bad Bible. And especially because if you notice in the very next verse, this is 5:21, and 5:22 begins a new section. It goes all the way into chapter 6, verse 9, where the apostle puts together these doublets. He's like saying, let me tell you what's on my mind here. This is what I'm thinking of in this verse. And he puts together doublets. He talks about husbands and wives, first doublet. Then he'll talk about parents and children, second doublet. And then he'll talk about masters and slaves, the third doublet. And in each of these, Paul will speak of one party who's an authority, and he talks about how to be a good one, how to do that authoritative position well. And then he turns to the other person who, in some sense, has to submit willingly to that authority. And church, if you look at the rest of the New Testament, I mean, this is like all over the place in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament too. But listen, it is all over the place. And the Bible indicates again and again that we all have authorities, all of us. We all have authorities that God has placed over our lives. And I'm talking like in the home, at work, at church, in your state, in your country, and over all of them, because this is the one who is over everything, is the living God. He is at the top of the pyramid. He is at the top. And church, the fruit of those, the fruit of the one who is filled with the Spirit, let me tell you, it is not rebellion. It is not anarchy. It is not undercutting. It is not saying, you don't do what I want, I'm taking my ball and going home. Forget you, okay? Listen, but it is a willingness. It willingly places oneself under the authorities that God, in his sovereignty, has placed over our lives. So there it is. There's the text. Think of it. Let me summarize it. The one who is filled with the Spirit, the one who is filled with the Spirit, the one who is yielding to the Holy Spirit, the one who is blatantly being influenced by him, the results of the Spirit are working their way into the person's life. The one who is filled with the Spirit, okay, speaks, number one, he speaks edifying words and heartfelt worship together in the family of God. The one who is filled with the Spirit, that one has a thankful attitude which finds regular, constant expression in your life. This is the norm. This is the norm that comes out. And the one who is filled with the Spirit, number three, willingly submits to the authorities that God has placed over his or her life. Oh, Indian Valley, let me ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Listen, we get the text theoretically. Listen, let's bring it home. Let's apply it. Let's bring it close to us. Are you filled with the Spirit? Now, note that I didn't say, is your neighbor filled with the Spirit? We don't really care about that question at all. The more important question is, are you filled with the Spirit? I need to ask the same question to myself, which I've been putting myself all stinking week, okay? Listen, are you filled with the Spirit? Notice I didn't ask, could you articulate this doctrine in your Sunday school? Notice I didn't say, do you do religious stuff? Do you do religious stuff? Do you, whatever you want to fill the blank in. Listen, but are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you coming blatantly under his influence, blatantly under his influence? Is his fruit, his result evident in your life? Let me ask you, what is your life? What does your attitude say about you? I guarantee it says something. What does your life and attitude say about you? And realize that I am not describing this morning you getting more of the Spirit. I'm not saying, hey, you can get more of the Spirit. I'm saying, let the Spirit get more of you. Be yielded to him. This is a command. We actually have something to do here, right? We are to be influenced by him. By him. Listen, years ago, when Kendra and I were 20-somethings rather than 50-somethings, okay, so a long time ago, at least 30 years or so, there was a family that lived behind us, Christian family, fine Christian family. First guy I knew that I went to, you know, he graduated college and went off in the ministry. First guy I knew to get a, you know, pastor job and so forth. But there's a family that lived behind us, and one day his wife told us this story that I always found very interesting. They had several little kids, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 kids, something like that. And one time she told her kids, she said, do not go into the shed. because our Christmas presents are hidden there, and we do not want you to see them before Christmas time. Do not go into the shed. We lived in Mobile Home Park. You didn't have a lot of storage. They went out in the shed. Oh, children, do not go into the shed. But while the kids were outside playing on one occasion, one of her boys went over to the shed. And the little boy opened the shed door, and he stood at the entrance of the shed door just thinking. And then all at once, he slammed the door and ran back inside and told his mom this. And oh, church, listen to the wise words of a five-year-old. The wise description of a five-year-old. He said this. He said, "Mom, I opened the door of the shed, and my feet were telling me to go in, but my heart was telling me to run away." And you know who won out? The one he yielded to. He ran. That was the one he yielded to. In Indian Valley, the Bible is telling us here, do not yield. Do not yield to sin. Do not yield to folly, but yield to the Spirit of God. This is a daily thing. I'm telling you, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to tell you to do something very different. Very different. And he's going to rock your world to make it easy for you to go the other way and not really listen to the Lord and not listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, the Bible tells us not to yield to folly, to sin, but yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit of God. Listen, are you filled with the Spirit? Church, are you filled? Christian, are you filled with the Spirit? And let me tell you, if you have really messed up what I'm talking about this morning, if you've really messed up and you don't know Jesus, you're like convicted of sin, I really screwed up my life and lived poorly and so forth, let me tell you, it's a point of the gospel. Jesus forgives sinners, right? We have a great big cross here because Jesus died on it to pay for your sins. To pay for your crimes before the Lord, that you can be cleansed and washed of your sin through the blood of Christ who died in your place. And he makes us sons and daughters of the living God through faith in his name, through faith in him, through faith in him. Listen, have you come to Jesus in faith? And let me tell you, if you're a Christian, you say, yeah, I know all that. I've been a Christian for a long time, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, whatever it is. Listen, if you feel, if the Holy Spirit is, you know, putting his finger on you and saying, you have really messed this up, Christian, listen, remember 1 John 1:9. Remember 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins to the living God, oh, he restores you. He forgives you. He cleanses you. Because listen, we have a gracious, loving, heavenly Father who delights to forgive his children. He's not an ogre. He delights to forgive his children because he loves us. And let me tell you, to all of us here at Indian Valley, every single one of us here, everybody who is a Christian, let us all purpose today to willingly yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and make no excuse, leave no room or expression in us for the deeds of the flesh. And this is something to take with us this week, Thanksgiving week, yup, and all year long. Let me extend it further. How about all lifelong? All lifelong. All lifelong. Remember it. Remember it as you celebrate Thanksgiving and try to get that joy like normal. Normal in life. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. I can think of my own life and think of clear instances where I have absolutely dropped the ball and been cantankerous and ornery, divisive, as a Christian. And oh, I beg your pardon, oh Lord. And I do not want to go back to that deceived life ever again. Duped by the devil, duped by sin, duped by selfishness. Oh, Lord, may we yield to you. May we desire to fall under the influence of your Holy Spirit and make no provision for the flesh, for the sin life. Oh, help us, Lord. And I pray that you would grant the joy of Jesus among your congregation right here, this little place in Harleysville, Indian Valley Faith Fellowship. Grant us the joy of Jesus as we worship together, as we worship with joy from the heart, with joy from the heart, as we encourage one another in the body of Christ, as we edify one another with truth and true words and true gospel and true Bible. Oh, Lord, help us. Oh, may we exude a spirit of thanksgiving at Indian Valley Faith Fellowship, in the church and outside the church. May we not have roast each other every Sunday afternoon, but oh, may we eat joyfully and give thanks to you and magnify your name every Sunday and every day in between. Oh, Lord, help us. And may we be also a submissive people. Not like any of us have the corner on the truth. Not like the goal of the Christian life is to conform everybody to our standard or what we think or for us to get our way. But may we follow the cross path of the Lord Jesus, who gave of himself, who let himself go, who died to himself for us, for us, for us. And he submitted to his heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray that you would help us too to submit to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus and the powers that be that you have told us to submit to. Oh Lord, let us not make excuse, but let us be filled with your Spirit. Help us, help me, help my brothers and sisters in Jesus. Oh Lord, I ask in Jesus' name.